Chapter 12. Hypochondriasis. Hypochondria is a condition in which a person enjoys bad health. He is morbidly satisfied to be, or seem to be, unwell, having a melancholy interest in disease, an unjustified preoccupation with illness. Every insignificant sign becomes a symptom of some terrible disorder. Little twinges, sighed about, soon become agony. The external is always the proof of something in the dark interior. A fatal defect is surmised, and soon it is incurable. Sooner or later, the patient is half glad to join the army of the world's unfit. They squat at the gate and long for sympathy. They resent the suggestion that things are not so bad, half jealous of somebody who might be worse, willing to be treated, but sure it will be fruitless. Crutches are better than confidence. Sometimes, men are crippled by choice. Faith mixed with pessimism. There are spiritual hypochondriacs. Sometimes they are revealed by an easy readiness to proclaim that all is lost. Someone will say, "I know that I shall never be in the kingdom of God, but I am glad to help others to get there." As the condition advances, they find satisfaction in despair. Their chains are forged with unbreakable steel. By comparison, other men's chains are made of silk. Faith is always mixed with pessimism. The old habits of slavery have to be nursed. It is sometimes justified by, "I have always been like this, I cannot change." It suspects that the forces of heredity and environment are too strong for the gospel. An echo of those upon whom the Apostle James remarks, those burdened by a fatalism which tended to blame God for the failure to master their passions. Let no man say when he is tempted, "I am tempted of God." Hypochondria fosters miscalculation. Too easily it concludes evil to be invincible. It makes friends with that which cannot be mastered. The best we can hope for is to minimize mischief, not destroy it. Failure is too strongly entrenched to be dislodged. There is talk of victory, but the forces of iniquity march unhindered. If they cannot be beaten, with reservation they will have to be joined. Let us eat, drink, and get what joy we can out of being miserable. To the despairing, this appears sane and reasonable. The people of God at Kadesh Barnea exhibited symptoms of hypochondria. They had no confidence that their situation could be changed. They were cowed by walled cities and giants. The milk and honey hung in doubt, but they were sure of the leeks and garlic. They could not venture on the word of God. Their faith was partial. God's description of it was this: "They have not wholly followed me." Somehow they could not bring themselves to believe that success was possible. Deliverance from Egypt is one thing, but triumph in Canaan is another. They had escaped Pharaoh's penalty, but dare not lay hold on the new life in the good land. The master principle of possession is faith. They could not enter in because of unbelief. That is the sadness of this trouble. It leads men to nurse their failures, to cling to their infirmity, to be content with their disability, to be half pleased with their prejudices, to advertise their adversity, to sit tightly in their bath chairs and hold fast to their crutches. Thus the truth for them becomes half false. Set at liberty. The truth is not just an arrangement whereby men who ought to die can escape. It is a superlative declaration that ruined men can be remade at the spiritual center of their life, now and hereafter. Not just deliverance from a penalty, but a revelation of divine righteousness at the disposal of man. Not just amelioration, but altogether renewal. Salvation is not only deliverance from death, not only forgiveness of sin. At last it is the power to do right, to master the antagonistic forces of heredity and environment. The enfeebled will be empowered, the paralysis is healed, the bound soul is set at liberty. Those who suffer from this disease deserve help and encouragement. For them, too often, there are days of despair when the joy of life turns rancid. Too often, there are dull days when the luster is lost and the shadows stretch ahead. There are days of doubt when Egypt seems nearer than Canaan, when to nurse the failure is easier than striving for the victory. The cure is through confidence. Recovery comes through a restoration of trust. The afflicted must be helped to the conviction that their condition is not unique. They are not too bad for the physician. They will be no good without him. He believed that broken men were worth dying for, in spite of their bad health. He knew the very worst about men, but clung tenaciously to the belief that in them he would realize the best. To one who cursed and swore and denied, he once said, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." He knew that saints were made of sinners willing to be remade. The response. But to his confidence, there must be confidence responding. It is not enough to cry in agony. It is not enough to weep over sin. A man must resist the devil and trust unswervingly in the Lord. If the process does not work, then the fault is in the patient, not in the cure. If the fault is in the cure, then suffering and despairing men have been woefully deceived, for it is written, "The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." The important thing is not to procrastinate. This disease gets worse with neglect. Despair moves forward on a descending path. It may be difficult, but given time, any difficult job becomes impossible. Grasp the means of grace which power has provided. Take the next step in obedience. Realize the power of the gospel, not as a theory, nor only as a doctrine, but in the experience of life, triumphing and ascending. Footnote. As Paul puts it in Romans 1 verse 17, "By faith unto faith, the Lord's faith in his own, provoking their faith in him."